This is a special edition for California voters of Peter B. Collins News and Comment, produced on Wednesday, October 24th, 2012. We're facing 11 ballot measures, propositions on the November 6th ballot. It's a ball of confusion.
People moving out, people moving in. Why? Because of the color of the skin.
Run, 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 but you sure can't hide.
For me, and I'll set you free. Rap on, brother, rap on.
Well, the only person talking about love, man, brother, is the preacher. And it seems nobody's interested in learning but the teacher. Segregation, determination, demonstration, integration, aggravation, humiliation.
It is a ball of confusion for California voters, and I'm going to do my best to sort it out for you. And I'll tell you how I'm going to vote, but over 40 years in broadcasting and now podcasting, I have always refrained from telling you how to vote, because I just don't think that's appropriate. But I am happy to share my views, and if they influence you, fine. And if it causes you to think about it and reject my choice, that is fine, too. I hope that whatever happens, you will participate and weigh in, particularly on some of these important ballot measures. And I'll take them generally in order as they are numbered on the ballot, with the first two being an exception, because we have what are viewed as competing measures to raise taxes in California. And both are framed, or at least pitched, around protecting or expanding funding for education in this state. The first proposition, Prop 30, is put on the ballot by Governor Jerry Brown. And the history of it is that he has wanted to raise taxes, but when he campaigned against Meg Whitman, he promised that he would only do so with a vote of the people. In the first year in office, he was blocked by the Republican minorities by a margin of two votes in the Assembly and in the state Senate. And so he went the other route, gathered signatures, and put it on the ballot that way. And first and foremost, I have to say that I'm offended by the manner in which the Republican minority forced the governor's hand, and the only tactic he found practical is to create a budget that was passed in July of this year for the fiscal year through June 30th. That requires this approval of the voters to avoid steep cuts. And I consider this to be a kind of hostage situation. And because the pitch for the ballot measure is framed around protecting funding for K through 12 and the university systems, the UC and CSU systems, I view this as a tactic that is somewhat odious. And yet I do understand the practical concerns that the governor faced, and that this appears to be the only route to put some reasonable and actually minimal tax increases on the books and hopefully passed by the voters. So with that said, Proposition 30 is the governor's measure, and I'll detail that for you in a moment. And then there is the Prop 38, which is completely bankrolled almost by Molly Munger. And the Munger children have a wealthy father who is a partner of Warren Buffett and Berkshire Hathaway. And combined, Charlie Munger and Molly Munger in this cycle alone are committing $50+ million of their personal fortunes to influence voters on these two measures. And so we end up having a kind of democracy, but it is promoted by wealthy individuals. And that makes me uncomfortable as well. So first to Proposition 30, what would it do? It would add a quarter point to the state sales tax. Now, that's a regressive way to raise revenues in Sacramento. but it was trimmed, actually, from the original proposal and coupled with creating four new high-income tax brackets for the state income tax. And so individuals or households with incomes of $250,000, $300,000, $500,000, and $1 million will see their income tax rate increased to a maximum of 10.6%. It's currently topping out at about 9.3%. And this is because it polled well to put taxes on millionaires. But it does increase the or extend the volatility of the tax-based revenue streams that come into California. And this is a result of the limit placed on tax increases by Proposition 13 way back in 1977. And we can argue some other time over the merits of Prop 13, but the most significant factor is that it requires a two-thirds vote of the legislature to increase taxes. And that has given the Republicans who are loyal to Grover Norquist, who wasn't elected by anybody and doesn't even live in California, incredible power to reject tax increases. So the governor's proposal has this millionaire's tax, the increase in the sales tax, and it is projected to generate somewhere between $6 and $7 billion per year. Again, we have here estimated revenue from Prop 30 vary from Jerry Brown's top estimate of $9 billion to $6.8 billion, which is projected by the Legislative Analyst's Office. And again, this is because the capital gains tax is a central facet in the fluctuations in the revenues that flow into California. So this is a Hobson's choice in many ways. I will be holding my nose and definitely voting for Prop 30. And I am considering voting for Prop 38, but we'll get to its pluses and minuses in a moment. So the governor's tax proposal is endorsed by just about everybody except the Jarvis Gann taxpayer group, low tax group, that is the stepchild of the people who ran Proposition 13 in the first place. And newspaper editorial boards have endorsed this almost universally. And, of course, the teachers' union and other groups related to public education are behind it as well. They're also funding it. $7.7 million from the California Teachers Association. SEIU, the State Employees Union, $6.4 million. American Federation of Teachers, $3.8 million. California Association of Hospitals, $2 million. School Employees Association, $1.5 million. And the Democratic State Central Committee, with just over $1 million. California Nurses Association, $1 million. Carpenters Union, $1 million, and it goes on from there. So the governor has been crisscrossing the state in recent weeks, promoting this heartily. And one of the things that is not quite accurate about the advertising for Prop 30 is that it will definitely go to the schools. The money flows into the state general fund, and under the ballot box budgeting of Prop 98, some 40% of annual state revenues is dedicated to education. So you increase it by $6 to $9 billion. Theoretically, 40% of that has to go to education. But it's fair to say that the promotion of this ballot measure has not talked about the tax increases. It really just focuses on saving education from the budget acts that was put into motion by the legislature's inability to craft a budget, and it basically had a $6 billion or larger hole in July of this year. So, again, with my reservations, I feel that we really have no choice and that we've been backed into a corner. And while it's easy to blame the governor and the Democrats because their fingerprints are on it, the real reason, as I've stated, is because of the recalcitrance, the absolute refusal of Republicans to pass meaningful revenue increases. And the whole thing started back when Arnold Schwarzenegger was elected and was grandstanding, and he cut the car license fee, the vehicle license fee called the car tax, and that created a $5 to $6 billion annual shortfall because Schwarzenegger didn't replace that money or immediately cut spending to match the loss of that revenue. So the what happens is the immediate people to be blamed for it are the Democrats and the governor, but this is the only resolution to the problems that have been created long term by Republicans. Now to Prop 38, which is purely a state income tax increase, and it is not exclusively a millionaire's tax. And keep in mind that multimillionaire Molly Munger is the major funder of this. $33 million of her fortune has flowed into it. And despite the efforts of many state leaders to persuade her not to do it at this time, because it puts two competing measures on the ballot, she has refused. Now, to be fair, her increase in Prop 38 is entirely dedicated to education. And I do believe that we need the money. But like so many previous ballot measures that earmark money for specific causes, this is another trip down that road. And it's a very dangerous road because when revenues decline, very few choices remain for the legislators and the governor of any party to make adjustments and still keep the potholes filled on the road, the infrastructure rebuilt, and make important investments in education. So I'll say it this way, that for me, Prop 30 is a must. And Prop 38 is optional. The polling shows that it is not likely to pass. However, because it does provide badly needed investments in education in California, which we are disinvesting in to our own future peril, I think that it does have appeal to many people. And I also think that there is value to the early childhood development and education programs that it is also designed to fund. Now, practical issues. The Munger Initiative, Prop 38, would start collecting taxes next year, but it wouldn't be available to spend right away. It would not fill the hole that the triggered cuts that will go into effect if Prop 30 fails in the immediate fiscal year that we're in right now. And the likely outcome if Prop 30 fails is that they will shorten the school year, teachers will be laid off, and other draconian measures beyond education will be taken. And so they've got that budget axe right at our throats, and that's why I think Prop 30 is a must. Now, most editorial boards have come out against Prop 38, partly because of the way it threatens the passage of Prop 30, and also because of the very firm ballot box budgeting that it imposes. And so you have to weigh these different factors and come to your own conclusion. I am leaning toward voting for both of these measures, despite my reservations about Prop 38, because of the sharp cuts that we have seen in education in this state and the failure to fully fund the state mandate under Prop 98 for 5 years now. And so these are difficult choices. And I just want to recognize that and give you the information you need to make up your own mind. There is no real organized opposition funding campaign ads to Prop 38. The Chamber of Commerce has donated $23,000, and they're the only major donor to the No campaign as of October 14th. So it remains to be seen how voters view this. But again, as I mentioned, most editorial boards are against it, and it is a difficult set of choices. I think that a yes vote will send a message to Sacramento that you view education as a very high priority and you're willing to pay more income tax to do so. And it's important to, again, reference that the income tax increase of under Prop 38 would apply to incomes starting very low on the spectrum at about $25,000 a year. No, let me correct that. And by the way, my reference here is ballotpedia.org, and I encourage you to use it because it is, I think, the most independent and objective appraisal of the ballot measures in California. It's a national website, so you have to click on California, then click on ballot measures, and you'll be able to find links to the page of each of these measures that is on the ballot. So let me correct myself. Prop 38 increases personal income tax rates on earnings over $7,000 a year. Now, it's progressive. It starts at 0.4% at that $7,000 level, and it goes up to 2.2% for individuals making over $2.5 million. It's locked in for 12 years and then would have to be renewed, and it does have a clear prohibition on this money flowing into the general fund and being used for other purposes. So that's the best I can offer you on these two complex tax increase measures, Props 30 and 38, on the November 6 ballot. Next, we take a look at Proposition 31, which is entitled the two-year state budget cycle. And on the face of it, there are some appealing reforms in this measure. And on balance, I will not be voting for it for a number of reasons. One is that it expands the power of a governor, any governor, to unilaterally make changes in the budget during fiscal emergencies. And I think that's a dangerous precedent to set. And I believe that the governor already has pretty expansive powers under the line item veto to make trims to the budget presented by the legislature before he signs it. The idea of a two-year state budget cycle, I think, is a good one. And it could be imposed without a ballot measure. It could come from action of the legislature. So if there is a significant vote for 31, yet it doesn't pass, I think that would provide fuel to enact that kind of a reform in Sacramento. And it puts a check-writing limit on the state, so to speak. It prohibits the legislature from creating expenditures of more than $25 million unless offsetting revenues or spending cuts are identified. And that's kind of sexy on the face of it, too. But there are times when I believe it's important to be able to spend money. And we have the situation right now where, even though I deplore the way Prop 30 puts an axe to the necks of every California voter, again, this has been driven by minority rule and Republican obstructionism. And so to tie the hands of the legislature and say that they can't spend $25 million unless they cut $25 million may not always be the wisest move. It requires performance reviews of state programs and performance goals in state and local budgets. I have no quibble with that. And here's a great measure in it. It requires publication of all bills at least 3 days prior to a vote by the state Senate or the state assembly. And it gives power to counties to alter state statutes or regulations related to spending. And I think that that is a slippery slope because we have Orange County, for example, where Republican philosophical extremists might use that power to negate state regulation and oversight. And overall, I don't think that is a good idea. So I will be voting against Prop 31, but I do acknowledge that it is the work of good government groups called like California Forward. And I applaud their work and their efforts to address the long-term and systemic problems in governance in California. But as I've articulated, there are too many issues that could be used inappropriately and that tie the hands of the legislature and that also expand the power of the governor beyond what I think is advisable. So that's my summation of Prop 31. Next is Prop 32, and this for me as a longtime union member and someone who knows how lopsided the advantage of corporations were even before the Citizens United decision. And this is a very deceptive measure because it has exceptions. Essentially, it's written in a way that is hard for people to understand, but it permits corporations to continue massive spending on election campaigns for ballot measures and for candidates without checking with their shareholders. But it stops unions from using checkoff contributions from paychecks, deductions from members' paychecks, to fund their political advocacy. And so it would make an unlevel playing field into a very steep slope. And we've seen this before. The right wing has been promoting this so-called paycheck protection. There was Prop 75 defeated in 2005, Prop 226 defeated in 1998. And this is part of a national movement by corporate and conservative interests to basically take unions out of the equation in our elections. And you may disagree with particular decisions by unions. You may hate unions and believe that they have too much power and that their ability to extract money from their members is onerous. I don't agree with that, but I understand that many people feel that way. And you should know that the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, is likely to take up an essentially paycheck protection issue in the current or the next term. And that could make massive changes in this balance nationally and could end up reforming or changing these issues to the detriment of working families and union members. And it's interesting because, you know, I mentioned the Mungers. Well, Charlie Munger has put $20 million of his inheritance from the Berkshire Hathaway fortune of his father into no on Prop 30, the governor's tax increase measure, and yes on 32. And so we see that the Munger family is playing a double game. And Molly says that Charlie and she are not coordinating this, and she doesn't even approve of what Charlie is doing. But even if that is true, their influence on these campaigns, Charles Munger, $23 million in funding in opposition of Prop 32. So for me, this is an issue that I am not conflicted on, and I very clearly will vote against it. Likewise, Proposition 33 is funded largely by George Joseph, who is the chairman or CEO of Mercury Insurance. And it's very similar to Proposition 17, which was narrowly defeated in the June 2010 primary ballot. And it is a corporate preference bill that is you know, just ugly and egregious. And Mercury Insurance is one of the handful of companies that write automobile policies in the state. They have a stranglehold. It's not a monopoly, but it's four or five companies that dominate the market here. And nominally, Prop 33 would change laws to allow insurance companies to set prices based on whether the driver previously had auto insurance with any insurance company. And so if for any reason your coverage lapsed for more than 90 days, unless you were in the military or you can show that you lost your job, they have the right to jack up your rates. And I don't pretend to know the, you know, inner financial details of the auto insurance industry in California, but I don't need to say that this is a corporate preference bill that is funded almost entirely by Mr. Joseph. And it is, it's been rejected by the voters before, and it should be rejected soundly this time. George Joseph himself, a billionaire, the 385th richest man in America, has contributed $16.5 million to pass Proposition 33. I say no, or maybe even hell no. Proposition 34 is something that I fully support. This would replace the death penalty with life without the possibility of parole for the most serious criminals in the state. And I have been opposed on a philosophical basis to the death penalty all my life. And I remain opposed. But beyond philosophy, there are practical reasons that for many, many different causes or factors, the death penalty doesn't work. There are 725 people down the road from me at San Quentin Prison who are eligible for execution, and seven of them have exhausted all their appeals and would be in line for the death chamber if it weren't for a moratorium that is currently in place based on a federal court that has determined that the use of the three-drug injection, lethal injection procedure is cruel and unusual punishment. And even if you don't care about that, that you think, hey, they're going to die and they committed a terrible crime and I don't care if they suffer pain in the process, the bottom line is that the death penalty is on hold at present. And the system of defending capital criminals is broken. We don't properly fund the state legal agency that handles death penalty appeals. If you are convicted tomorrow and sentenced to death, the first time you will see a lawyer to start to handle the mandatory appeals is at least 5 years. And then that lawyer, who is underpaid and has too many clients, will not properly or expediently process the appeals. And so I just think for a whole host of reasons, this is a good measure. And opponents have been ramping up in the last few months, and the polls show that this is going to be very close. And Prop 34 is supported by the former District Attorney of Los Angeles, Gil Garcetti. Jeannie Woodford, who I've known for many years, she was the warden at San Quentin Prison, presided over four executions. She became Governor Schwarzenegger's cabinet-level secretary of the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. And she really knows the territory. I have interviewed her many times about this. And for her to support this ending of the death penalty and replacement with life without parole is, I think, quite significant. Former Attorney General John Vandekamp supports it. Also, the Bishop of the Diocese of San Bernardino and the California Conference of Bishops, the ACLU, California Democratic Party, California Nurses Association. And also, one of the pitches is that it would create a $100 million fund to be distributed to law enforcement agencies to solve more homicide and rape cases. Now, once again, this is ballot box budgeting, but the amounts are you know, at $100 million, fairly minor in a state with an $80 billion annual budget. And so I think that that is something that adds a little persuasion, but is not, for me, the central reason to pass this. And the donors in support of this, the maximum donor was Nicholas Pritzker, $1 million. The Atlantic Advocacy Fund, I'm not sure who they are, they put in $1 million. And then it drops down from there. So I think that this is a reasonable move. The trend across the country, there are now 15 or 16 states that have ended the death penalty in recent years. And I hope that Californians will vote in a majority and overwhelmingly yes on 34. Next, we look at California Proposition 35, entitled Ban on Human Trafficking and Sex Slavery. And just because of the title, which addresses, nominally, a very serious and ugly set of crimes, this measure is on track to pass overwhelmingly. And I will not be supporting it. And my mind was changed by a conversation with the leader of No on Prop 35, who is a working prostitute and an advocate for sex workers named Maxine Dugan. And you can find my interview with Maxine on my website at peterbcollins.com. And she makes some strong arguments about unintended consequences that will make prostitutes subject to abuse or other criminal acts and prevent them from going to the police, going to the district attorney, and seeking justice. Now, Prop 35, again, sounds really good. It'll ratchet up prison terms for human traffickers, require convicted sex traffickers to register as sex offenders, and require all registered sex offenders to disclose their internet accounts to the parole officer. It requires criminal fines from convicted human traffickers to pay for services to help victims, and it mandates law enforcement training on human trafficking. Now, we already have sufficient laws on the books in California to deal with the category of crimes that are addressed in this ballot measure. And it's important to note that this measure was written by and is heavily promoted by Chris Kelly. Chris Kelly has donated over $2 million to support this measure, and the entire campaign has raised about $3 million, which is pretty minor. But given the polling, they don't need to do a lot of advertising. And so all kinds of newspapers are lined up. The politicians of all sorts support Prop 35. But I think that they are off base. And here are some of the reasons why. That it relies on a very broad definition of pimping that can be a dragnet that includes people who aren't directly related to the forced importation of individuals who are then forced into prostitution. And as I said, these are already criminal acts that are addressed under state law. Opponents also say that the real goal is to gain access to asset forfeiture, which benefits the law enforcement agencies and a certain group of nonprofits. And I think that is a very real argument. And we've seen in the war on some drugs that the asset forfeiture from drug dealers are often misused by law enforcement agencies. And I don't see a need here to pass more money to them that is tainted money. It in some cases is blood money. And I just think that that is an inappropriate measure or aspect of this this ballot proposition. And it criminalizes prostitution in ways that allow the exploitation of people, because this law will force more people to stay underground or go underground if they are victims. And as you know, in many cases, law enforcement officers will take sex or force sex from a prostitute before they bust her, and nobody really believes the prostitute when they get to court. And this would make that even worse. If Prop 35 passes, the argument here, anyone receiving financial support from normal consensual prostitution among adults could be prosecuted as a human trafficker and forced to register as a sex offender for life. So I encourage you to go to my website and listen to the interview with Maxine Dugan. But she persuaded me in our conversation that this is an overreach, and it appears to be driven by the ambitions of Chris Kelly. So I will be voting no on 35. I know I'm in the minority. I know it's very likely to pass. But I ask you to consider it carefully before you just robotically accept the editorial endorsements and the political leaders who are lined up in support of Prop 35. Now to Proposition 36, which changes the three strikes law. And full disclosure, I've always been opposed to the three strikes law. And with my friend Peter Sussman, a retired editor from the San Francisco Chronicle, we crisscrossed the state when the three strikes measure was enacted and tried to raise important issues about it. But that occurred during the O.J. Simpson trial, and we could barely get one reporter to come to our events, and it was very hard in that climate to persuade people. Also, the three strikes law, which was first a state law passed by the legislature, and then was put on the ballot to make it harder to change or amend, was driven mostly by the hysterical coverage of the Polyclas kidnap and murder case here in Northern California. And it's important to note that while he was not covered by the three strikes law, that Richard Allen Davis did receive the death sentence for his, he was the only perpetrator in the Polyclas case. And so these are minor modifications in the three strikes law that try to take the worst out of this bad law. And it requires that the third strike can only be imposed when the new felony conviction is serious or violent, with certain exceptions. It authorizes resentencing for the offenders who are currently serving 25 to life if their third strike was not serious or violent. And Peter Sussman and I compiled a book of people who were caught up in the three strikes law for stealing a pizza, stealing a bicycle, robbing a video store. One guy took a set of golf clubs. Now, these are losers, to be fair. But many of them are in fact, there was a study that shows about half of them are related to drugs. Their real underlying problem was that they were addicted to drugs, including methamphetamines, and it drove them to do very stupid things, even though they knew they were carrying one or two strikes at the time. There are now 8,800 prisoners who are costing us between $50,000 and $60,000 a year, who are serving life terms under the 1994 law, and there are many more who are serving extended sentences with two strikes. And this has, I think, the benefit of keeping losers out of our state prisons and sentencing them realistically for the crimes that they are before the court at the moment, and not simply locking them up for 25 years because they once committed a serious crime and then, you know, did something trivial that subjected them to the draconian nature of this three strikes measure. George Soros has thrown in $1 million, the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, $175,000, and so that gives you an idea of who supports it. Now, it's opposed by Polyclas's father, Mark, who, I'm sorry to say, has become a professional victim and a media hound, who will show up at any crime scene if there are TV cameras there. It's also endorsed by Mike Reynolds. And I know this inside and out because I actually studied in detail the financial contributions that passed the three strikes ballot measure in 1994. And Mike Reynolds tells the story that after his daughter, I think her name was Kimba, was killed by a parolee, that he took his life savings to get this measure passed. Well, Mike Reynolds' life savings were reimbursed by Michael Huffington. Yes, he was then the Senate candidate and husband of Arianna Huffington, and the National Rifle Association, and the California Prison Guards Union. And so he, too, has become, I think, an addict to the attention that he got for promoting the three strikes law. So I encourage you, in this case, I strongly urge you to vote yes on Proposition 36. Proposition 37 is a very simple measure that requires labeling on food products that are derived from genetically engineered crops or other GMOs. Prop 37 originated with a housewife and a mom named Pam Larry from Chico, California. And we interviewed her. You can find the interview on my website. The podcast is dated August 1st of 2012. And we also spoke with a woman who is the author, her name is Janice Ray, of a group of a book called The Seed Underground. And when you understand that Monsanto and two other companies have gained control of virtually all agricultural crop seeds in the world, and that is linked to Monsanto's pesticide company. And you know how Roundup works, right? It's the very strong pesticide that will kill anything nearby except the genetically modified plant that is called Roundup Ready. We've already seen that there is resistance building in the bioculture to the use of Roundup, and so Monsanto advises that you just use more. And this leaches into the soil, it leaches into the crops that are grown under it, and when you combine the increased use of pesticides with the genetically modified organisms that are corporate-owned and controlled, this is a very dangerous trend. And Prop 37 is very simple and straightforward. It simply requires that the label on a consumer product indicates whether or not it includes anything from GMOs. And it is astounding to see the flat-out lies that are being used in the $41 million opposition campaign that is funded by Monsanto and a group of agribusinesses and some grocery chains. And we've seen that when food product makers were required to add nutrition, calorie information to food products, that they did so, and there was no real downside. And consumers have more information and the power to make choices. But now we see these phony ads saying that this labeling would cost so much money and it would hurt farmers in California because it would make our crops second class because they have to be labeled. Well, that is pure BS. And this is the resistance of Monsanto and its allies to honest labeling of products nationally. And if California does this, we're such a big market for everything from Doritos to cereal to, Cap'n Crunch and granola bars, that it is likely that they will just cave in and label all food products nationally with the information about whether there is a GMO in it. And so the opposition of virtually every newspaper, except my local paper here in Marin County with a circulation of about 25,000, the Independent Journal, all the other papers have lined up in opposition to Prop 38. And I am shocked, and I'm sorry, Prop 37. I am shocked and I am puzzled by this, and I urge you to think carefully, to turn off the noise, to reject the lies. And I think that it's a very reasonable, progressive, and consumer choice-oriented measure. That's Proposition 37. We already talked about the Molly Munger Initiative 38, so we move over to 39, which is described as an income tax increase for multi-state businesses. This is an attempt, a second attempt, to close a loophole that was created under Governor Schwarzenegger. And essentially, it allows corporations that operate in multiple states to shift their revenues around on the books to avoid paying tax in California. And if Prop 39 is passed, it would raise about $1 billion a year. And it really makes sense unless you are some sort of a corporate goon. And similar laws have been passed in New Jersey, Illinois, and Texas. Even big fat Republican governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie, said that moving to a single sales factor removes a barrier to firms seeking to locate and grow their business and jobs in any given state. So the state assembly tried to pass a similar measure, and they wanted to earmark the money for college scholarships here in California. But they could only get one Republican vote in, I believe it was the assembly. And his name is Bruce Nestand or Nestande, and he was punished by his party and had to resign as his leadership post the day after he made that vote. So I think that this one is very simple, and even if you're a shareholder in a company that benefits from the ability to choose which state they pay taxes in and which rate they pay taxes in, this is smart. In every way, levels the playing field, and also removes a disincentive for companies to do business in California. So I'm going to be voting yes on Proposition 39. And if you're still with me, there's just one more to go. Proposition 40, a referendum on the state Senate redistricting plan. This is an orphan ballot measure. It was put on the ballot by Republicans who were looking for a way to nullify the work of the Citizens Redistricting Commission. And while this commission, and I supported the ballot measures that created it for both state legislative districts and congressional districts, it's not perfect, and it's produced some anomalies across the state. The fundamental issue here is that elected leaders were stopped from picking their voters and from drawing the lines in ridiculous ways called gerrymandering that, kept them in office or made a certain district safe for a Democrat or a Republican. And so in July, the proponents of Prop 40 just threw in the towel and said, well, we're not going to campaign against this. So Prop 40 is on the ballot. It is, to me, a very simple yes vote that approves the map that was drawn by the Citizens Redistricting Commission. And this is what's called a veto referendum, which was an attempt to override the work of the commission. And so you are simply approving the new state Senate districts. This was never intended to cover state Senate, Assembly, and Congress. They cherry-picked state Senate because Republicans felt that they had some disadvantages that resulted from the Citizens Redistricting Commission. So read over the information at ballotpedia.org for yourself. But this one is not complicated. It is not contested. And I think that it's pretty easy to vote yes on Proposition 40. I wish you all the best, whether you vote at home or vote at the precinct on Election Day. But please vote. I'm counting on you. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.